This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, it's noon. Your Beltway Blitz every day catches you up to speed on the teams you care the most about. 12-18, the Redskins will beat the Cowboys if the Redskins will lose to Dallas at home. If we will fill in those blanks. Next hour, Craig Hoffman with the latest on the matchup and Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports on Joe Girardi being available, Dusty Baker being out, and where the Nationals go from here. Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. Chris Russell, one of our Redskins insiders. Chris, the offensive line is just a disastrous affair right now with injuries. You've got four guys not practicing still. Who do you think's at risk of missing the game? Who's going to gut through it?
Well, just from what Jay Gruden said, it looks like, and this kind of not came out of nowhere, but Spencer Long is going to be the guy that is probably the most unlikely to play out of anybody, and it may not be, of course, just Spencer Long. We'll have to see what happens, you know, with Trent and, of course, with Brandon Scherff. Scherff dealing with both back and knee issues, but they got a little bit of good news there. But Long might be out. Now, that brings in Chase Roullier, Danny's cousin, of course, mm-hmm. who played pretty well against Cincinnati in that third preseason game on that Sunday afternoon at FedEx Field. So it looks like he might be the starting center, and hopefully somehow they can keep Trent and Brandon Scherff alive and alert. The problem is, according to Dr. David Chow, longtime sideline physician for the San Diego Chargers, Trent is really potentially itching towards doing some permanent damage to his knee by continuing to play.
I don't think they can stop Dallas. The same way I don't think they could stop Philly. The same way I don't think they could stop Kansas City. To me, this is mm-hmm. a game where you're heavily invested, and I know they're so banged up. You just went through it, obviously, on offense. But the offense has to go win the game, Russell. You can't have extended periods of three and outs or a couple times where they're not moving up and down. You got to score 30 points in this ballgame, I think, if you're going to win it. Can they do it, and if so, how?
Yeah, same thing that happened Monday night, right? I mean, I don't know about you guys. I was bitterly disappointed that they walked away from those first two drives on Monday night with 3 points. And they had great field position after the Dunbar turnover at, I think, their own 42, and obviously drove down the field until they got, of course, into the red zone on that first drive, did get a field goal out of it. Well, you can't have that against this Dallas team. We remember what happened week two at FedEx last year where they tried fade, and then they had the interception to Barry Church in the end zone. I mean, this cannot happen. The way they can potentially do it, and I know this is going to upset you guys, is they can run the football against this Dallas defense. They are number 24 in the NFL in rushing yards per play allowed at 4.62, and number 21 overall in the NFL in terms of rushing yards per game at 115.5. You slow them down, you gash them a little bit, somehow, some way, combination of everybody, and you keep Dak Prescott and, most importantly, Ezekiel Elliott and Jason Witten, who has always hurt the Redskins, off the field.
Doesn't make me upset, by the way, Slashy, because I just want to beat the Cowboys, and
I like
I'm with you.
I
think that's the best way to do that this week, particularly with your offensive lineman as banged up as that group is. Real quick, though, before we let you go, prediction for this game, how do you see it playing out?
Unfortunately, I think the Cowboys will find a way to win. I'm going to go, say, 24-21. I think the Redskins, as always, will make it competitive, close, but shoot themselves in the foot one too many times.
Russell, you are the best, buddy. Thank you for the time, as always.
Thanks, Jules.
Let's talk some Wizards here, Tommy. Locked On Wizards is the podcast. You bring on Ben Standing because he knows the Wizards. Ben, listen, you're playing Golden State tonight. I'm going to get to that in a second. I am still not over losing to the Lakers the other night because, A, the Lakers stink, but, B, the clown shoe, who's the father of the actual NBA player who we should be talking about, was proved correct and is walking around today thinking that he's right. I am not over that loss. I'm still irritated about it. Please talk me down and give me your feelings in general.
if you're not a LeVar Ball person, that was tough to take. Bad enough that the Wizards lost a game that they were up double figures in the fourth quarter and couldn't put away a young team. And, yeah, that one's going to hurt for the reasons you just said. You know, the funny thing is, like, going into the game, despite the fact that the Wizards were the last undefeated team in the East, I mean, it hadn't felt like they had put together a really top game yet. They had blown leads in the first two games at home. They were kind of all over the place against Denver, and we saw that against the Lakers. So despite the fact that they're 3-1, you take that, especially without Markieff Morris, it doesn't feel like we've seen the best version of the Wizards yet. Now, tonight would be a great time for that to come against Golden State, but at the same point, it makes you kind of wonder what is this team exactly going to show tonight, because we haven't quite seen the best of them yet.
Yeah, that Lakers game is so Wednesday. So let's move on to tonight. They're 3-1. They are at the Warriors. Give me a little preview.
I mean, look, obviously, you know, Golden State is 3-2. This year they haven't exactly been on fire. They have won their last two, but we all know the deal. You've got four All-Stars shooting all over the place. The spurt ability is insane. You know, you can go from a tie game to being down 10 quicker than I just spit out that sentence. So the Wizards are going to have their hands full. I really think this will be the first game all year where I think the loss of Morris is a big factor, because when Golden State goes to that death lineup with Draymond Green at the five, I have no idea who the Wizards are putting out there to deal with him. That was Morris's job. No clue what the Wizards do from that perspective. But, you know, they gotta just play hard on both ends of the court and, you know, hope their own three-point shots start falling, something that hasn't happened to date.
Yeah, why hasn't that happened? They're third worst in the league at shooting the three-pointer, shooting 28% as a team. They've been dreadful from beyond the arc despite tons of open looks.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I'll let some stat head tell me why, but, you know, it feels like Bradley Beal in particular has been getting open looks, and they just haven't been falling. So, you know, over the course of the season, it averages out. Right now, it looks uglier because it's the start. But, you know, in his case, in Otto Porter's case, I'm not too concerned. You know, without Morris, Jason Smith hasn't made a three yet. Those are two guys up front who gave you some pop from deep. And that obviously hasn't happened. So, you know, for them to win tonight, somebody's going to have to start making some threes. Jody Meeks has done that, but he's pretty much the only guy so far.
Ben, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Ben Standing, Locked on the Wizards. Check out his podcast. Let's talk some college football. It's Friday, which means John Lazor, voice of Virginia Tech, joins us. The Hokies have Duke this weekend. What do we need to know about the game?
Yeah, it's the next in a series of games, guys, where the Hokies could be caught looking ahead because, of course, everyone's got their eyes on Miami and what that game could mean in terms of the Coastal Division and even beyond that, who represents that division in the ACC Championship game. It's a game that Virginia Tech should win if they continue to play well at home, which they have, but also a game that obviously has Justin Fuente concerned because he recognizes how disciplined a football team David Cutcliffe usually has.
Well, Duke's not terrific on offense. To me, this is a recipe for that Virginia Tech defense just to go ham and get themselves a bunch of, you know, a couple touchdown returns, a bunch of sacks. I think this is a feeding frenzy game. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, but I think that was more so the case with North Carolina last week. That's exactly what I predicted against North Carolina because they've had so many injuries. I think that the Virginia Tech defense is going to have a lot of success shutting down the Duke offense. I just don't know if they're going to make the level of mistake that will lead to what you're talking about. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, though, because I think Bud Foster will shut down the Duke running game, and Daniel Jones has been prone to mistakes through the air, so that's definitely the game plan for Tech.
How do they match up with Miami in the sense of who is the better team right now? I mean, the Hurricanes are winning their games, but all close and sometimes against teams that aren't that good.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting because we don't know that answer right now, and it's because of the way the schedule is played out, right? Tech looked more impressive because they've probably played an inferior opponent or two, certainly in the case of North Carolina, just besieged by injuries, and Boston College, who's played better of late offensively, but were woeful when the Hokies saw him a couple of weeks ago. And meanwhile, Miami's played Florida State without Francois, and they were barely able to escape Georgia Tech, but I don't think there's any shame in that. So they've played a higher level of ACC opponent at this point. I'd say the defenses, although they won't match up head-to-head, are pretty similar, and I'd probably give a little slight nod to Miami's offense at this point, and the fact that that game will be at home for the Hurricanes certainly will make them the favorite in that game, but I wouldn't imagine it'd be more than 4 points.
John, ESPN did a cool thing where they went through each of the top 25 teams and talked about an unsung hero for each team, And for Virginia Tech, Ricky Walker was the kid that they picked. Go into that a little bit. Talk about Ricky's impact.
Yeah, that's actually, I thought you were going to ask me who mine would be, and that would have been Ricky Walker. He's a kid that played well last year in reserve role. You had some star power on the defensive line last year, particularly with Woody Barron, who was ahead of him. But he's the guy that Justin Fuente, from a personality perspective, sought out at the Belk Bowl last year before the game. And he said, look, Rick, in 4 hours, this is going to be your defense. And he has really lived up to that through the offseason and camp and everything else. He's the vocal leader on this team. Tim Settle on that line is the more physically gifted of the two, but Walker is definitely the leader, and Tim will often say that he's the one challenging him and picking him up. So he doesn't get the headlines, and up until last week, he didn't have huge, gaudy stats in terms of sacks and tackles for loss, but at the same time, he's kind of the backbone of the front line of that defense.
We will be listening on 106.7 The Fan tomorrow. John Lazor will be on the call. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, great to be with you.
Absolutely. Virginia Tech football can be heard here on 106.7 The Fan in and around D.C. We're Grant and Danny. Next, the Redskins win if, the Redskins lose if. Cowboys edition. Line them up. 800-636-1067. Where are your calls? 800-636-1067. How do they win? Why would they lose? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.